Welcome to EcoTalk. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg. We have a thrilling show for you today. I know I keep saying that, but I think our topics and our guests are going to keep you captivated. I hope you'll agree. Our first guest is none other than the mayor of San Francisco himself, Gavin Newsom, joining us in the studio to talk about his environmental views and policies for the city that knows how to do it, sets the tone for the rest of the nation. We're going to talk about some of the firsts that have happened here and perhaps what other cities are doing to emulate. In this case, we like to be copied. In our next segment, Daniel Imhoff, the author of a book called Paper or Plastic, gives us some answers to that difficult dilemma that we all get hit with at the grocery stores all the time. Although in San Francisco, we'll have the answer become very evident. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. And in the second half of the hour, Peggy Lauer and Annette Gellert will be joining us. They're with the Well Network. That's a bipartisan network of citizen leaders offering green solutions for environmental and health crises. And in the last but not least segment, Deborah Williams from Alaska Conservation Solutions shares what her organization is doing to find solutions to the wide-reaching consequences of global warming hitting first in Alaska. She says Alaska is the Paul Revere of global warming. I thought EcoTalk was the Paul Revere. The sky is falling. The Russians are coming. The ruination is coming if we don't wake up. First, I want to recognize our partners, those who make EcoTalk possible each week, the Natural Resources Defense Council and Earth Justice. And now, without further delay, Mayor Gavin Newsom.
Two of my favorite organizations.
That's right. Right. That's right. And they're out there spreading the green gospel. But, you know, if you can't reach the masses and you can't grow the choir, it's not really going to catch on. And that's what we're trying to do, is be that missing link.
So true. And at the end of the day, it's one thing to have faith, but faith without works is meaningless. Point being, you've got to manifest your ideals. We can't just talk about the way the world should be. We have to actually implement. And that means taking some risks and means ruffling some feathers. And it means being held accountable to real results, not just a lot of rhetoric.
And you took some risk nationally when you took a stance on gay marriage. But we're not going to talk about that today.
Yes.
We're going to talk about how San Francisco is walking the eco talk in so many ways.
Yeah.
And a lot of it happening under your watch. And what are you most proud of that San Francisco is doing right in the environmental
arena? I just think leading by example and acknowledging at the same time that we don't have all the answers, but the answers are out there, which means that we're always looking to other cities and states, and I would argue disproportionately other countries now for leadership. You talk about paper versus plastic. We say neither, and that's really a strategy that was developed notably and successfully in Ireland. And I went back to Dublin and met with the minister that actually put that program together to do away with paper and plastic bags and to have people required either pick up their groceries in their hands or to get cloth bags and recycled bags and the like. And it's been a success, and we're trying to put together a strategy here in San Francisco that's a hybrid of it, trying to work with our private sector partners the first year in a pilot program. And if it doesn't work, we'll use the hammer. But it's always good to do the carrot first and then the stick if it doesn't work out.
And why are plastic bags such an environmental problem?
Well, it's amazing. I mean, the amount of pollution associated with developing them and obviously the amount of garbage you see in, all out in the streets and then what ends up in the water ends up in our oceans and the streams and the like, obviously have deleterious
trees.
Impact.
I've seen them hanging in trees, those white plastic bags.
Yeah, no, it's just, and it's the bottom line, it's unnecessary. It's because we're so used to paper and plastic bags and the convenience of not having to actually bring our own bag to a grocery store that we've come to take for granted. And the reality is it's not environmentally friendly. The reality is it shouldn't be paper or plastic. I'm going to listen in. I'm curious when I do have to make that choice, which is the better choice. I never know which one it is. But
cloth.
The ultimate choice is cloth. And the fact is in San Francisco now, some of the biggest grocery stores and supermarkets are actually beginning to market this program under our pilot and begin to educate folks away from paper or plastic. They see the benefits for themselves because it costs the supermarkets money. And then they are obviously doing what is right from the city's perspective in terms of the waste diversification and our recycling efforts. And then they're also marketing it by putting in cloth bags, their logos, and selling them for basically their cost. So it's a good win-win opportunity for everybody.
They're affordable, they're abundant, and they last forever.
Yeah.
And you can wash them if they get dirty, but it takes a few years for that to happen. The
exactly.
biggest challenge is just remembering to take them inside Whole Foods from your Prius, as I do. But what I do is I put them in the front seat, not the back, because it does take a while. But then once you make it happen, and you also get a credit back.
Exactly right. And look, in Ireland, everyone's a sky. Talk about skies falling in, the world's coming to an end. Everyone's used to it. It's amazing how quickly you're able to change the way you've always
and
done
it's
things.
It's not much of a sacrifice. In fact, you feel cool and smarter.
Exactly. And I mean, you know, and ultimately we're all the beneficiaries. And, you know, as we have a goal in San Francisco to reach 75% recycling in the next few years, we're already at 67%, among the highest in the United States of America. Compare that, for example, in New York recently, still in the low 20s. San Francisco never thought we could hit 60%, let alone 67. No one believes we can do 75, and no one thinks we'll ever have zero waste. We're going to do it, and the only way we can do it is these kinds of innovative strategies.
Now, one of the innovative programs that took place here first, and I hope it's being emulated elsewhere is composting. We have a great curbside composting program and a restaurant pickup program that is really cutting our trash going to the landfill.
There's nothing more fun than all the waste, all the food waste that goes out. It's composted. It becomes soils, and then it grows the same produce that became the composted produce in the first place.
Talk about closing the
loop. It's closing the loop. Restaurants love it. It deals with their waste issues and actually ways of incentivizing costs, because the heavy bulk of having a lot of the food products thrown into the garbage cans was actually more expensive than composting it. And then we're out there creating a market to buy some of these composted soils and things, which are beneficial to everybody. It's a great thing.
Especially because in San Francisco, we have, I think, more restaurants per capita than any other city. We don't have a lot of green waste. We don't have a lot of yard waste.
Someone said you can go to a restaurant every single day, a new restaurant for your lifetime, and never get through all the restaurants in San Francisco.
I would add you can go to a great restaurant every day in San Francisco.
That's the spirit.
If you get a bad one, you know it won't be around long.
That's for sure. Huh?
So let's talk about some solar panels on our convention center. Yes. That's pretty amazing.
Well, we have the largest municipally owned photovoltaic project in the United States of America on our convention and visitors facility, the Moscone Center. And now we've competed with ourselves by creating a second one down at our wastewater facility plant in what we refer to as our southeast sector of San Francisco, not dissimilar to other cities, an industrial area of our city. And we want to make, obviously, an environmental justice statement that we want to do away with the old and bring in the new. And we want to focus on environmental injustice as it relates to the disproportionate amount of prostate cancer rates, breast cancer rates, and cervical cancer rates that we're experiencing, I would argue, disproportionately because of environmental conditions, asthma rates that are disgraceful. And going to move away from these old sort of industrial age fossil fuel power plants now into green technology, where we actually created a tax incentive in San Francisco to cluster green companies that are in biofuels or alternative fuels that are into wind and solar production and manufacturing. We hope to create a cluster in the city that's second to none in the United States, not talk about green technology from a domestic economic policy perspective, but also put our city front and center in terms of the foreign policy debate in this country. There's no greater foreign policy than independence from oil. That's not just a tagline. It's not just rhetoric. It is reality. To me, it's uncontrovertible, but we've got to provide examples, and we've got to develop incentives to develop these technologies and develop these industries.
We're driving the EcoTalk, too, in San Francisco. Got a pretty big fleet of green car.
We have the largest municipally owned
technology.
Alternative fuel fleet in the case. You know, this is, we are a lot of firsts in the city. And you know how easy this is? This is a joke. How dare we not demand more from our local officials? We don't just need to wait, because I'm not waiting for Air Force One. God bless. I'm not waiting for Air Force One to come
help
in.
Us.
Hey, Mayor Newsom, it's George Bush here. I'm on my way into SFO International Airport. You know what? You're right. On this global warming, you're right about recycling. You're right about alternative energy and fuels. I'm not waiting around, nor am I necessarily waiting
asking
for
permission.
Friends in Sacramento. Hey, the point being, at a local level, where now more of the Earth's population are living in urban centers than outside of urban centers, we have the ability at a local level to make huge and dramatic impacts in reducing waste and reducing kind of environmental challenges that we see.
Let's get to the mother of all environmental challenges, global warming. Yep. World Environment Day, last June in San Francisco, Al Gore had a PowerPoint presentation on steroids that gave goosebumps to everyone who saw it.
And it's going to be a documentary, and it's going to knock people's socks off. You don't have to like Al Gore. He wasn't good enough on this, good enough on that.
Well, he's a different person. He's passionate about this.
He's not a politician anymore. God bless us. We're screwed up.
Maybe there's hope for John Kerry.
Maybe. I hope so. Outside of politics, perhaps. That's the problem. We are not ourselves. He is his truest self, and this documentary is going to knock people's socks off. Anyone who's seen this presentation, it is compelling. It's articulate. It's three-dimensional in terms of how it's approached. It is absolutely a phenomenon. I've had Al Gore's worst critics walk away from that presentation, which I've seen many, many times, invited many, many people, go, where was that guy when he ran for president? And that guy is right here front and center on the environmental debate, and it's going to knock people's socks off, and it is call to arms, and shame on us, elected officials across the country, not to wake up and do the right thing.
I love the name of it, An Inconvenient Truth.
It is an inconvenient truth. Continue to do it.
It challenges the status quo as we know it.
Good. We need a lot more of that.
And if we don't do that, we'll end up, well, like where we are now.
Yeah, continue to do what you've done, you'll get what you've got. I mean, it's
isn't that
pretty
the definition,
simple.
Definition of insanity?
Yeah, do the same thing over and over again, expecting, my gosh, yeah, different result. What happened? Why hasn't things changed? Play in the margin, too. You can't play in the margin in these things. But the point, I guess I'm saying, fundamental point, it's not that difficult. You're not talking about bankrupting economies doing these things. You're not talking about changing the way we do business day in and day out and changing our lives. You're talking about just basic, simple things that have a dramatic cumulative impact. San Francisco's economy has never been stronger, and we have one of the great environmental, sustainable local economies in this country. But guess what? We haven't even scratched the surface of what we're capable of. I'm embarrassed what we still do wrong environmentally and what we can do if we're aggressive and more thoughtful. And that's really what this is all about. We want to keep raising the bar, but we want to create evidence. We want to prove it can be done. That's what San Francisco is about. It's not an evidence-free zone. We want to prove that things could be done so they can be replicated and manifested elsewhere.
We did it. We went from grocery bags to global warming in 10 minutes. We're going to have you back because I had many more questions.
Yeah.
And you're, oh, so articulate.
Hardly, but
and
I
outspoken.
Look forward. I love this topic. Thank you for doing this.
So do we.
We all should love this topic because it's all about life, and it's so fundamental.
It's only our survival, folks.
That's it.
Gavin Newsom, the mayor of the great city of San Francisco. We'll be right back.